Where you have a homeland, I have a void. I stopped being a Jew at 12 when my grandmother told me to change out of my shiny, silvery new shoes for synagogue. The reason? I had to change out of my shiny shoes because they could reflect my underwear, tempting men. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. That is the metaphor my mother uses to describe her own moment, which, funnily enough, was also with shoes. Her favorite wooden clogs were banned at a boarding college because the clickety-clack could have attracted a man's attention. Identity is not as fluid as some, including me, may want to believe. We cannot change where we were born, the experiences we have had, and to a certain extent, the obliviousness from the way we grew up, or the way people see us. In Israel, I was seen as another person, like the rest. In Germany, I am seen as a Jew, as an Israeli, and more often than not, I feel like one too. Mavet la'aravim, like a gong in my head, that sentence is never far and loudest when I am confronted by my identity as an Israeli Jew. Mavet la'aravim, death to Arabs. How could this ever be shouted in the streets? You may like to think that this is only the extreme right wing that says this, but once in a while, the constant brink of civil war Israel is on teeters. And when it does, it is not only the extreme right wing spewing this. Whether left or right, in Israel, all are influenced by the political decision to define Israel as a Jewish nation and state. My uncle was labeled as an extreme left activist because he believed all people living in Israel should have the same human rights. And he fought for it too. Whenever that gong sounds, I ask myself, Uncle, what would you have done? My sister is sobbing on the screen before me. Never have I hated a screen or inanimate object more. Regardless of what is labeled in the Israeli news, we both know she is experiencing the brink of a civil war. What words of comfort can I give? Here I am, an aspiring writer, but I have no words against war, violence, and hate. She should not have to go through this hate and violence. No one should. Come here. Leave everything, I say. If I could pull her through the screen to safety, I would, even against her wishes. And yet, I am so proud of her. She keeps on volunteering, supporting, and protesting. I think I know what you would have done, Uncle. You would be protesting next to her. Protesting in Hebron, in Yerushalayim, everywhere you could, matching shout with shout, fist with fist, for better or for worse. Meeting violence with violence as a reaction to the brutality of the structure you were in is how I can understand your actions. Although, that doesn't excuse them. You gave so much protesting injustice, almost all of your money and your life, building, connecting, and helping. Choosing to do what's right and becoming a pariah in his close but my faraway right-wing family. Loving and outcasting someone is not a contradiction. That is the wrenching reality of what they taught me. The cost of having a conscience was one description about him. And it is true. There was a heavy cost for him. His days were constantly disrupted by malevolent spies, police, and courts. I do not want to live that way. I hate that about myself. The knowledge that I have all the tools to be a better person, and am not. A selfish guilt crawls into my mouth. Like a giant spider, it sits in my throat, but I don't swallow it. It deserves to be there. From tragedy to tragedy, I jump on my phone. Children committing suicide after the murder of their parents. Police with their shoes, stomping loud, entering and beating family members in their home. Away from that, in my own home, I search for relief. I pluck my eyebrows into perfect shapes, but it is not enough. Peach fuzz, nose hair, armpit hair, all my shame, one by one. Some spots bleed little red drops, but relief is elusive. My uncle dies from a vicious, consuming, malicious brain cancer. Extreme right-wing activists celebrated that. They said he deserved it for being leftist, homosexual, perverted, any excuse they could find to justify their beliefs of being right, a belching of words that were a mess of political and religious beliefs. The same extended family that had pushed him to the periphery for his actions is now fighting over his apartment, precious real estate in Jerusalem, each wanting it for their children. I have my own opinion. Turn it into a center. A refuge in the heart of Jerusalem for his friends and the people he would have wanted to support. Do it out of the respect and love you had for him, no matter that it is not your politics. If I were a fighter, I would do something. My eyes slowly roll towards my pen as I wonder if I am truly the fighter I want to be. But the pen is still merely a pen, and with no sword in sight, I turn away. The apartment is sold, and money is split again and again, until the illusion of its value dispels. Every word I write rings empty. Every action is not enough. Ask me about my homeland, and a monologue of an unclear haze comes from my mouth, so thick you have to use a pair of scissors to cut and clear a space to breathe through. I can talk about Israel as easily as I can change it, which is not easily at all. That is why I have that void as an artist, an empty space where Israeli art should be. The country I see as an adult is not the country I was taught about in my Zionist American childhood. Israel in my past and Israel in my present are two separate entities that I cannot reconcile. I'll think about it tomorrow. A sentence that is a coping mechanism to ignore the now and today. What that it is transforms, shifting with every echo and passage of those words. I'll think about it tomorrow are words to live a passing life by. Slowly, I lift my head from them, until more and more frequently I wake up with years flashing by. What was the it for today? Memory rekindles with a resolve, not to forget it. My pen is still a pen, and I can start wielding it today.